And then there was that storm that was coming. And he's got their well-being in mind. We read down here in a minute that says that he saw them. I don't know if he was on the mountain and saw them. He could have. I don't know if he was walking in the sea and saw him through the storm and the darkness and the waves. He could have. He never took his eyes off of them. You know, he was always seeing where they were and what situation they were in. But he had a lot of stuff to talk about with his Heavenly Father. So if you will, we'll kind of rehash a little bit of the feeding of the 5,000 and see what's going on after we pray. Lord, I thank you again for your word. Father, I thank you for, Lord, just the truth in your word. Father, I pray that you would slow our minds down. Lord, slow our flesh down, that we would be able to look into your word. Lord, see the true meaning of your word. Lord, through your Spirit, that you'd give us understanding. Father, I pray that, Lord, through this we'd be strengthened. Lord, we'd know that you not only did these things back then, but you still do them today. Lord, and we as back then shouldn't be amazed, Lord, as we've seen the things that you've done. And Lord, as you continue to act and move in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the time that we could come and share your word. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's come to hear your word. Lord, bless them in a mighty way. In Christ's name, amen. When we look at the feeding of the 5,000, see a couple of things here that's just interesting. There was two or three verses that just kept catching me. What does that mean? What in the world? Here in a minute we're going to see that they saw him walking on the water and he would have passed them by. Really? He would have passed them by. If what? If they wouldn't have called out to him. He would have passed them by. I'll tell you that these people that came, these multitudes, they came because they had faith in him and the things that he could do. And I thought about that this morning. Every one of you that are here today, your faith brought you here. Your faith in Jesus Christ brought you to this place. Whether you had needs or not, your faith brought you here. It was something that you said, you know, I understand the world doesn't do this. I understand that everybody, you know, this isn't a popular thing to do anymore. But your faith brought you here. Your faith I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but faith's motto is fear not. That's what faith's motto is. Fear not. When the angels showed up at... thank you, Lori. Oh, I thought she was getting that from me. When the angels showed up at Jesus' birth, they said, fear not. The Messiah is here. God sent the Savior. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, Jesus says, fear not. Everything's going to be all right. Fear not. He sees the apostles on the ship and he tells them, fear not. Don't be afraid. If we in fact believe Jesus Christ is with us, that same saying goes to us. Fear not. Fear not. Just some interesting things again. I told y'all last week, when you get down to verse 13 there, in the first part, 7 through about 13, he's sending the apostles out. He sends them out two by two. He tells them, don't take anything but a staff. Don't take any bread. Don't take any money. Don't take two coats. Just go. Why? Because he would provide for them. You'll have no needs whatsoever. You just go out and do what I ask you to do on faith, and I'll provide everything else. So you get down to verse 13. It says that they went out and preached and people repented. And they healed many of the sick and people with devils. And then we have that excerpt out of there of 14 through 29 that talks about John the Baptist. So if you will, for the lesson today, just kind of overlook those verses there and put together verse 13 to verse 30, okay? Because that's what happens in verse 30. Says, and the apostles, gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So here they are. He sends them out two by two. He says, don't take anything with you. Says he commanded. He said, and commanded them that they should take nothing, in verse 8, take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. So they show back up. They tell him what went on. He says, you know what? Y'all been out pounding the pavement. Come sit down. He says, come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest for a while. That's that vacation we talked about last week. And then he gets into, here come the multitudes. Jesus begins to teach them. And then the apostles come to him and say, hey, it's late. You've preached long. We're hungry, so we know they're hungry. Why else would they have come to him and said, we got to feed these people? I don't think that they had the compassion on them that he had. And I think it's very interesting. I don't know what it means, but I think it's very interesting. In verse 37, verse 36, send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Huh? Jesus looked at his apostles and said, give ye them to eat. And look at their response. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Sounds to me like they brought money with them. Busted. Whoops. Jesus said, I'll tell you what. You give them something to eat. Oh, you have little faith. I read the other accounts of it, and it kind of pinpoints it on down. He says, you took money with you, didn't you? Oops. Oops. And he passes it by. I think he just kind of jolted them a little and said, tell you what, if they're hungry, y'all give them something to eat. And then he begins to do the miracle of feeding probably 10 or 12,000 people. So he does this miracle of feeding the 5,000 that we see here. And it says they did eat, and there were about 5,000 men. The other renditions of the Gospels say that everyone was filled. Everyone was filled except those who were full of themselves. And they weren't filled. If they were filled by Jesus Christ, they were filled. Everyone except those left empty because they were filled of themselves. But the interesting correlation that comes into play here, Jesus is trying to teach them that feeding them bread or the fishes isn't going to be sufficient. That's going to suffice for their bodily needs for a short period of time. When they wake up in the morning and break the fast, they're going to be hungry again. He's trying to explain to them that to care for your physical needs is one thing, but your spiritual needs is what's most paramount. Look at Numbers chapter 11. I read this week and I was just like, wow. John chapter 6 tells us that Jesus Himself said, I'm the bread of life. That manna that was given to your fathers in the wilderness, that was Me. Everybody understand that? The manna that came down from heaven was Jesus Christ. It was a picture of Jesus Christ that whoever partake of that manna would live. Everybody with me on that? That's pretty well been explained through the ages. But look what happens in chapter 11 of Numbers. Verse 1 says, And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that were among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat freely, Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. You see what happened? Is they got so accustomed to having that bread of life that they began to detest it. Jesus was trying to show them of feeding the 5,000. This is the bread of life. He's gonna do this miracle. His apostles were so used to seeing him do these things that they didn't even realize it. We're going to see here in a minute that their heart was hardened because they didn't understand the feeding of the 5,000. But look what happens when it says, there is nothing at all, verse 6, besides this manna before our eyes. And look what they did to the bread that didn't meet up to what their expectations were. It says, and the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of Bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp at night, the manna fell upon it. That life-giving bread that came down, they began to detest it, and they began to try and change it. Jesus showed up over here in Mark chapter 6, and they said, we'll take him by force and make him our king, because this is what we want. We see his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and they sing, Hosanna, save us now, our King. And then when he wouldn't do the things that they thought he needed to do for his kingdom, the same ones that cried, save us now, cried, crucify him. That's not the king we wanted. They began to put him in the mortar and pestle and try and make him what they wanted him to be. He told his apostles they didn't understand the meaning of this miracle. His apostles began to side with the multitudes, and he constrained them and sent them away. Look back at Mark chapter 6. Verse number 44. And they that did eat the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethesda, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. As I told you, he had a lot of things to talk about with his Heavenly Father. There were a lot of things going on that, again, at this point, he couldn't do the things that he was going to do before. Because of now they've rallied around and said, man, we're sure of it now. We want you as our king. Man, we want that now. You've provided for all of our physical needs. You've healed the sick. You've cast out the demons. What better king can we have? It's definitely more than what Rome's doing. We're ready. And Jesus said, that's not what I came for. He sent the multitudes away. He sent his disciples away. John again gives us another rendition, Matthew and Luke also, John tells us that as he began to explain this to them, that they said, you know what, man, we don't want to hear this. And they quit following him. They said, this isn't what we want to hear. You know, that this isn't what we had in mind. And again, I've said it over and over. If the Jesus of the Old Testament and the Jesus of the New Testament isn't your Jesus, you got the wrong one. And what happened was, is this Jesus that came didn't fit into what they wanted him to be. And they said, nope, you're not the one. You know, we ask ourselves every day, what don't the Jews get? What don't they understand? Man, this was the Messiah come. But that's not the one they wanted. They're holding out for the one they wanted. He's coming back. But as Moses was a picture of Jesus Christ, God sent Moses to get His people out. They rejected him and ran him off. God appeared to him in the burning bush, and that Messiah that they ran off is the same one God sent back. The same one that the Jews rejected and sent away and turned over to Rome to crucify, that's the same one they're getting back. It's the same one they're going to get back. Next time they'll say, you know what? We missed that one. Yeah, give us another try. I believe we'll be okay. Jesus says, in verse 47, it says, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them. And don't ever think Jesus can't see you. Don't ever think Jesus can't see what circumstance you're in, what things you're going through. Jesus told them, y'all go down there and get in that boat and start across that lake. Bachelors, y'all go get in your car and start to Arkansas. I got my eye on you. He saw you. Just get in your car and go. I may be over here, but I can see you. You know, don't ever think that He can't see us. It says that He was on the land and He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Jesus isn't ever going to exert Himself on you if you don't want Him. Man, you can take Him in your time of need and worship Him, and your posture of prayer on your knees and begging for your will to be done. Thy will, my will kind of deal, you know. You can do that, and then you can take Him and set Him back up on the shelf, and He'll remain there until you need Him again and dust Him off and say, here I am, I need you again. He'll do that. He's not going to impose upon someone that doesn't ask. But here, he says, he would have passed by him. This fourth watch of the night is between about 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. The Romans had 4 watches at night. The Jews had 3 watches at night. So this is, in Roman time, it was a fourth watch at night. It says that he come walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. You know, he understood they were in trouble. I don't know how much trouble they were in. They just couldn't get anywhere. Before, when he was asleep in the ship and the ship was filling up with water, they felt they were in grave danger. Here, they just couldn't get anywhere. There's a picture here. Kind of hard to get anywhere without Jesus, isn't it? You know, here they are toiling away. They've toiled all night. He sent them out in the evening. They've probably been out there on that ship for 3, 4, 5 hours, maybe more, and hadn't got anywhere. You could have walked around the lake in way less time than that. But here they are toiling and rowing, and he would have passed them by. Jesus didn't need those disciples in that ship to do what he has to do. He could have went and got some more. He says their hearts were hardened. And it's hard to use someone with a hardened heart. See, they had in their mind what they wanted him to do. They were one of those that said, not thy will, but my will. Instead of not my will, but thy will. He would have passed them by. But it says in verse 49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. You know, here they are out there on the ship, toiling. They're in trouble. But now they were troubled. You know, hey, we're in a jam here. We're, you know, hopefully the storm will pass and we'll be able to get on by. But now they're frightened. They're like, ooh, this is scary. And understand the psyche of these guys out here, okay? And it's hard to put this into modern day times, okay? And you shouldn't do the events of then into modern day times. They had witnessed him removing the demons out of the man in the cemetery. What did they do? They said, "Can we go over to the swine?" They went into the swine. What happened then? They ran off into the sea. Could there be demons in the sea? Ghosts or whatever it is they say. You know, they're out here toiling. Their minds begin to play tricks on them. Hey, it's one of those that the swine's at the bottom of the sea, but there's one of those. They were scared. They didn't know who it was, what it was, but they all saw it. I mean, it's understandable that they were frightened. I promise you, as many times as you've read this passage, if you see somebody walking on the water, you're going to be troubled. I don't care who you are. If you see it, and again, they saw miracle after miracle. It says, verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That it is I is, of course, translation. He says, I am. Be not afraid, I am. He could have quit right there. He told them he was God. And watch, I'm proving it. He's walking on something we understand cannot be done. But when he said, be of good cheer, I am, he proved that that's who he was by his actual, the act that he was doing. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. Now again, we're reading out of Mark. I've told y'all time and again that he was a huge fan of Peter. Mark doesn't give the rendition of Peter's shortcomings when he steps out and begins to sink. He doesn't give that to us. The other Gospels do. Tell about Peter coming out. Peter begins to do the same things that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did, except he began to look at circumstances. When he got out there and began to look at the winds and the waves and the sea, he said, I can't be doing this. This is impossible. But before he had that thought, all things were possible through Jesus Christ. He said, if it will, you bid me come to you. He said, come. His faith made him step out, but his faith began to diminish when he looked at his circumstances. Man, be careful of that. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. If you have faith, you can do it. And here's the thing. When he began to sink, he reached out, Jesus took his hand, and everything was okay. Jesus enters into the ship with them, and everything calms down. Moral of the story is, don't let him get out of your ship, you know? Just don't say, hey, come back into the ship with us. No, just keep him in the ship with you. In verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. He had just performed a miracle of feeding 5,000, five loaves and two fishes. And they didn't get it. They just didn't get it. They said, we want to make you our king. Apostle said, all right, we got the multitudes. Voice of the multitude, all right, here we are. We're ready. What kingdom do I get? Where are you going to set me up at? I've been poor all my life. I've been a fisherman. I've been a, you know, whatever my trade. What are you going to set me up as? He said, no. Get in the ship and leave. I'll deal with the people. And that their hearts were hardened. They said, that's not what we want. We want that kingdom now. Jesus had to go and pray to the Father. He said, hey, and everybody's trying to push this deal in this direction. This can't be happening. It would have made the Scriptures not be concise. Wouldn't have worked. Jesus said, y'all go away. I'll send them away. And we'll start again. He says that their hearts were hardened because, again, their will wasn't what His will was. Verse 52 says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew Him. These are all the people that saw Him and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about the beds of those that were sick where they heard He was. And whether so He entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought Him that they might touch, even if it were the border of His garment. And as many as touched Him were made whole. They were made whole by their faith. They said, you know what? Actually, just their thoughts of, hey, we could just touch Him, was their faith. They didn't necessarily have to touch Him. Their faith was what made them whole. It says that they began to get everybody they could find. We come in here every Sunday, and we say, man, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so. That's our faith. Running and grabbing them and saying, hey, we know where He's going to be at. He's going to be here. We know where He's going to be. He's going to be here because all of His people are going to be here. All those others who believe, all those that ran from all the outermost villages and the cities, and they brought everyone to Him to heal them. They found out who He was. If ministers today could cure the diseases like He did, how many of the multitudes would flock to them? Jesus didn't want that. He wanted them more understanding the Word than the miracles. See, miracles have to have more miracles. Feeding has to have more feeding. When they woke up in the morning, that feeding they had, they still hungered. He said, let me tell you what the Word says. If you'll partake of this, you'll never hunger again. That's what He wanted them to understand. It bothers me that so many people, again, think so much more of their physical well-being than their souls. When, again, the period of time is so short. I wrote this quote down from a famous minister, and then I forgot to write his name down. You know, you're only famous to the people who know you're famous, right? Okay. And I'll read this a couple of times. It is for want of understanding Christ's former works that we view His present works as if they never were like before. It's for want of understanding of Christ's former works the things that He's done before, that we view His present works, the things that He does for us today, as if they were never done like that before. And they were. That's why it's what we determine in human terms is experience. I can do this because I've done this. I can do this because I've done this before. Jesus can do this because He's done this before. If we have understanding of what He's done before, what makes it so tough about Him dealing with us now? He did so many more miracles than we can imagine. So-and-so has no hope. That was what the quote was this morning. The doctor said, "We have no hope." Well, I've got hope. I've seen Him raise the dead. Don't tell me. I've seen the hope. You can have no hope, but our hope is in God. Wow, what a theme. We should use that. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Father, thank You for the understanding of the things You've done in past, Lord, that are like the things You do now. Lord, I know that, Lord, as You've done these things in the past, that You still do them today. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, help us to stay focused on You. Lord, that we always keep You in our ship. Lord, that we never have to beg You come in with us. Father, thank You again for Your Word. Thank You for Your understanding through Your Spirit. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.